Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well this evening, and we have a great show lined up.
Yes, indeed. It's Sunday, December 17th, 2023. I hope you get your Christmas shopping done already, because it was murder. It was hell. Absolute madness on the roads today. Traffic everywhere, my goodness. But it wasn't too cold like it was in days past. But more snow is expected going into next week. So I'm not looking forward to that, really. So I hope everybody's happy and dandy and ready to have a blast here on the show. Often imitated but never duplicated. This is Kitchen Politics 123. It is Season 6, Episode 18, Blue States versus Red States, a contrasting comparison. The empty barrels make the most noise. Rolling stones gather no moss. Are Republicans just all talk with no substance compared to Democrats who not only talk the talk, but walk the walk? And they actually positively govern America. So far, the GOP has put a lot of theoretical showmanship, proving repeatedly that they cannot govern. And they are anybody to name one legislation of major significance that has helped the American people since the Republicans took over the House of Representatives. Compare them to Democrats who have tons of proposed legislation that never passed committee stage to be voted into law. Why are Republicans so worthless and hung up on culture wars? Why are Democrats so intent on working with them still after proving that Republicans would rather defecate on the U.S. Constitution by catering to the 1% and their corporate donors? What will it take to make the system work in America's best interest, benefiting the majority? Well, thank you for joining broadcast tonight. Weigh in by calling us at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. We love hearing from everybody, even if you're a right-wing show who support Donald Trump, the orange stack bastard. He's in trouble. I'm getting more into trouble now. And let's just say Rudy Giuliani has to pay near $500 million for defamation lawsuit. And my poor guy, he is now broke as hell. And everything that's going on in the toilet. Do you notice that everybody who deals with Donald Trump, if they have money or if they had some sort of influence, it just went down the toilet? So, you know, hopefully people out there will learn that Donald Trump is a no-good rat bastard who just looks after himself. He even throws his own damn children under the bus. But anyway, we're not going to talk about Ida Trump tonight. But we'll talk about blue states versus red states and contrast and comparison. And I have this little 1.5-minute video. It was presented by Robert Reich. He's a former Labor Secretary in the Clinton administration. And he breaks down how blue states help red states and how red states suck in the teeth of government. And if it weren't for the blue states, then, you know, they're a third world country, basically. So here's Robert Reich, you know, explaining the difference between blue states and red states.
If Donald Trump and Republicans in Congress love to demonize government handouts, which in fact their own supporters depend on and are increasingly financed by taxpayers in blue states. The federal program Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, what we used to call welfare, provides cash assistance to fewer than 1% of Americans. But the Trump administration is proposing to lump many social programs under a new agency with the word welfare in its title. A recent White House report on imposing work requirements, for example, put Medicaid, food assistance, and housing aid into a rebranded program called non-cash welfare. Defined this broadly, a large chunk of America relies on welfare. Add in disability benefits, unemployment insurance, and medical benefits. Such so-called welfare amounts to 17% of the average American's income. Welfare has become especially unpopular in red states that vote Republican and support Trump. But these same states are often the biggest beneficiaries of government assistance. If you include price supports for agriculture, subsidies for land management and forestry, and defense contractors, and you find that a large portion of the economies of red states depend on federal dollars. Now here's the irony. Residents of blue states send more tax money to Washington than they get back in federal help, while residents of red states send less money to Washington than they get back in federal help. In 2015, for example, New Jersey got back only 74 cents in federal spending for every tax dollar it sent to Washington. New York got back 81 cents for every dollar. Connecticut, 82 cents for every dollar. Massachusetts, 83 cents. But when you turn to the red states, it's the opposite. Mississippi received $2.13 for every tax dollar it sent to Washington. West Virginia, $2.07 per dollar. Kentucky, $1.90 for every dollar it sent to Washington. And South Carolina, $1.71. Taking the Trump administration's expansive view of the meaning of welfare to its logical conclusion, to include all those benefiting from federal spending, blue states are sending welfare to red states, the same red states that say they don't like welfare. Under Trump's tax law, blue states will be giving even more welfare handouts to red states. That's because the law sets new limits on the amounts of state and local taxes people can deduct from their federal taxable incomes. And since people in blue states pay much more state and local taxes than people in red states, blue staters will be paying that much more in federal taxes, which means an even bigger transfer from blue state residents to all those red state Republican voters whose party despises handouts. Now, I should add that some of us here in blue states don't mind giving red states a bigger helping hand. The vast majority of Americans also oppose cuts to programs that aid the poor, elderly, and sick, because most Americans figure we're all in this together, and those of us who can do so ought to help out those in need. We don't regard it as welfare handouts. We call it social insurance. Indeed, social insurance is needed and used by almost all of us when you include Social Security, Medicare, and unemployment insurance. And even programs relied upon mostly by the poor end up helping a large portion of us because roughly one-third of all Americans are poor at some point in their lives. So, remember, a tax on so-called welfare are really just another means of attacking the things most of us need and dividing the country into us and them. In reality, voters in red states are as dependent on the federal government as voters in blue states, and in truth, even more dependent.
Exactly. Red states are moochers, and they are afraid of their shadow. They worship Donald Trump. They can't think for themselves. All that good stuff. And the blue states now have the shit together, basically, because we'll put more in public funding for public education. You know, we'll try to teach people skills. Not everybody will go to college and get degrees and what have you. So when you compare blue state Democrats to red state Republicans, you know, there's no contest, really. So, Lori, what we'll have on the docket tonight, what's
Well, first of all, let's start, and we'll name the red states and the blue states so that people have an idea of what we're talking about. So the Republican camp, we labeled them as red states, are Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, and Wyoming. They're unwavering, you know, they have an unwavering allegiance to, you know, to the presidential elections, and they always vote Republican, which is normally against their own best interests, but they continue to do that, you know, year election after election. So that's why they get nowhere in those states. And then we have the contrast to the Republican states. They call them the swing states. Among them are Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The political orientation of these states hinges on demographics, the local political structures, and the influences, the issues that influence the election. Let's say abortion and climate change, gun control, those sorts of things. And those things honestly do, they make elections, you know, win or lose. And then we have the blue.
Oh, wait, before you go on, I wouldn't say that Ohio and Florida are swing states anymore. Florida and Ohio have gone way red, you know, in the last two election cycles and everything. So we can take that out of the swing state category, Ohio and Florida. But yeah, go right along.
I agree with you. Blue states, you know, are basically they're solid Democratic states. And so go into it. It's California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, alongside the District of Columbia. These states are basically consistent Democratic, you know, they vote in favor of Democrats. They're consistent in that. So that's actually very good. And, you know, Michigan kind of surprises as a swing state, because right now, and it's true, it is a swing state because we haven't had a Democratic governor in a long time, but we are lucky to have a governor, a lieutenant, you know, a governor and lieutenant governor, the attorney general, and the secretary of state are all Democrats, and all House and are run by Democrats. So we are getting so many great things done in the state of Michigan right now. And I am hoping the next election that we can continue this to go on, because we know what happens when Republicans come in. They destroy everything that we do to build the state up and the country as well.
Yes. The only thing that the red states can really boast about is the high proportion of evangelical Christians and other religious conservatives. This demographic mm-hmm. tends to lend support to socially conservative policies, including opposition to abortion and same-sex marriage. Guess what, people? If you don't want same-sex marriage, then don't get married to a same-sex person. Abortion, staying in your lane is none of your business, especially if you're not a woman. So the distinctive combination of geographic location, political philosophy, and cultural factors collectively contributes to the characteristics, identity of the red states within the American political landscape. And when you compare, well, there's no comparison really, but in these red states, basically, low formal education, prison industrial complex, you know, work 24/7 in pumping out criminals, even, you know, if you have a little smidgen on your record, they throw you in the slammer mm-hmm. there. Because a prison industrial complex is all about money and making money. They're not putting it in public education. That's why they want to privatize education. They want to privatize every goddamn thing, from your Social Security and Medicaid to your schooling, everything. You know, they want to put people's Social Security on Wall Street. You know, and then Rick Scott, the senator in Florida, saying, oh, yes, you know, we should have sunset programs. Yeah, okay, we'll sunset you in the next election, you bastard. Look like Skeletor. You know, so Republicans, not really for the people. They're ignorant, they're backward, they're a cult, they're dangerous, they hate women. Look at in Texas, they hate the women in Texas. You know, they'd rather have you barefoot and pregnant and uneducated, not going out there and hustling and surviving for your family, to take care of your family and everything. You know, so the whole misogynistic bullshit that Republicans push out on a daily basis, especially in the right-wing media, Fox News, AON Network, you know, the list just go on and on. You know, it's just a travesty that so many Americans falling for it. And we can only hope that before next November, next fall, when the election is here, that people finally wake up and say, hey, the Republicans, don't give a shit. You know, they wake up and say, hey, third-party candidates, due to how the system is built, can't do anything for the American people, especially a lunatic like RFK Jr. and a perennial candidate like Jill Stein from the Green Party. You know, it's not going to happen. If you vote for those people, you're wasting your vote, you're throwing it away, you're just pissing on the Constitution, basically, saying, oh, you know, I'm selfish, you know, I didn't get my own way, and I'm tired of Joe Biden because he's too old. But remember, Donald Trump is like 4 years younger than him. And as we say in the different media clips and the speeches, and Nazi-like speeches that he gives around the country, the latest one, being in Iowa, where about 10 people came, you know, you can see his cognitive, he's just he's just wasting. You know,
well,
he can't put two sentences together. So imagine if that orange Mussolini, this mango Mussolini, go back in power, it would be the end of the republic. And we don't want that to happen because we care about America. We love the country, the Constitution. We adhere by it and everything. And no union is perfect, but damn it, we have the best in the world compared to others. So we're talking about blue states, red states. When you're calling people, say first name, where you're calling from. It's 515-605-9802. And this is Kitchen Politics 123, often imitated but never duplicated. And before we take this call, a big shout-out to the crew of the 505 Albuquerque Reds. That's the Liverpool supporters that's in Albuquerque and in New Mexico. It was fun today seeing a lot of people at a craft room. It's on Broadbent on Northwest. It's like a brewery slash bar, and that is where the 505 Reds always go to hang out and watch games and everything. And Liverpool played Manchester United today. It was touch and go, but it ended 0-0. It wasn't a classic, but, you know, what can I say? I'm a Liverpool for life, you know. So if you're a mank out there, you're in seventh place, okay? You're not going anywhere, not for the next five, six, seven seasons probably. But anyway, on from soccer. Yeah. Go ahead, Lori. How was your day? What did you do today?
Oh, baked cookies today with the family. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. Last night, the Lions won, and it sounds like we are going to go in the playoffs in I don't know how many years. Detroit is on fire because of it. I mean, the Southeast Michigan is on fire because of it. They had probably 65,000 people watching the game last night at the Ford Field. So it's been an exciting time because the Lions have had such a rough, rough years going back. So new team, new coach, new attitude, and there's a lot of a lot of excitement in the air for them. For a moment, before we move on, I wanted to say, the red states, what really gets me about the red states is that, they emphasize certain principles. And I'll just tell you what they are, and then we can talk a moment for about it. One thing is smaller government, individual freedom, and lower taxes. Those three things really crack me up because, first of all, smaller government, what's bigger government than the abortion crisis that we have going on right now? Telling women they can and, cannot have an abortion. What's bigger government than that? There is no bigger government than that. Mm-hmm. And the next thing, lower taxes. We know that the 1% and the billionaires are paying the lowest taxes in years upon years. They've always paid lower taxes. And, we probably pay higher than these bills. So that's so ironic and ridiculous, And to what was the other one? And their individual freedom. Well, let's say the Republicans go into power, their individual freedom disappear with Project 25. So these Republicans better wake up and listen to and start listening to some other alternative news, someone like us who tell the truth that research things and don't lie about them because we know, we know that these other stations like Fox do lie. And then, and then we know that the Democrats, we are for smaller government. We are for smaller, more equality, lower taxes, better health insurance. I mean, there's a whole gamut, a whole list. And so why people don't understand that, what Democrats want and what they do for the country is beyond my understanding. So I guess we need to just do that and explain.
Yeah, and I think the reason why people still vote Republican is because, hey, my grandfather, my great-grandfather were Republicans. Or they say, they're fiscally conservative. No, they're not. The hell with that? Because look at that. We'll have 20 years of the Iraq war. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, so spent $20 trillion there. Went in Afghanistan, try to get bin Laden. And guess who got him? Barack Obama, George Bush couldn't get him. He had George W. Bush, run around and everything. George Bush is stupid, but compared to Trump, he looks like a Rhodes Scholar. And that's saying a lot about the Republican Party, the deterioration of the Republican Party and everything. We take this call now. We've been waiting a long time. And for tomorrow's show, it's the topic is being liberal. Progressive, why is it always a good thing? And then Thursday's show coming up, the role of social media and political discourse. So I hope you can tune in for those shows as well. And we're going to have Lexi from the state of Georgia. She's running for Congress in District 10. And the district is leading 15, plus 15 Republican. But the way people are so pissed off and angry at the Republicans trying to go inside a woman's vagina. And saying that she can't have an abortion, the way they're handling immigration or lack thereof, the way they want to cut spending, the way they want to disrupt the civil service, the way the Republicans want to, cut down the funding of the FBI and Homeland Security.
They want to get rid of the Department of State, the Department of Education, and the Department of Labor. You know, things like that, people say, no, how dare you, man? These are institutions, and, you know, professional people run them. You're putting your stooges to really destroy these institutions, and we're not going to have it. In Ohio, you know, in the off-season election year, the people spoke, women especially, saying, hey, my body, my choice. It's going to be enshrined in the Constitution of Ohio that if a woman wants an abortion, she will get it, whether for a medical emergency or incest or rape, you know. And even if she'll have 4, 5, 6 children and she decides she don't want anymore, she wants to have an abortion, she'll have a goddamn abortion. Why? Because it's in the goddamn Constitution of Ohio. You know, Republicans want to change that and everything. You know, and that's why it rubbed people the wrong way. You know, it's like they never learn.
Well, let's hope people are paying attention. That's the important.
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah, because of places like Nebraska, you know, can, you know, vote against, you know, getting rid of abortion. Nebraska, there's the Cornhusker state. No more right-wing Christian than Nebraska. Probably, you know, Mississippi and Alabama and places like that. And voted to keep abortion rights. You know, then there's hope after all. You know, I can't say the same thing about Texas and Florida. Those people are idiots. Texas and Florida, I don't know what they're drinking down there, but, you know. But anyway, one, two, three people lined up. I'm going to get this call now. Say first name, where you're calling from. This is Kitchen Politics 123. Welcome to the show. What's cooking? Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Hey, Elaine.
I'm here.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hey, welcome.
Elaine,
hi.
The Republicans talk about less government, then why are they telling us what to read? I am getting sick of them banning books. The Republicans want less government. We had a strike in Michigan, a newspaper strike. What did the Republican Council do? They prohibited the strikers from going out and protesting scabs. So, I mean, you know, it's just a hypocrisy. They're just a bunch of hypocrites, and that's all there is to it.
Indeed.
And less government. Maybe they are less government. They go down to Washington. They've been going down to Washington for 2 years. And the House is run by the Republicans, and they haven't done squat shit except for investigations. And Johnson said this latest investigation, well, we'll see what we find. It's a hunting expedition. They haven't got a clue what they're investigating.
Yep.
How about this, Elaine? Why don't they investigate somebody like Clarence Thomas's wife, who played a big part in January 6th insurrection? I'm more concerned about, you know, her role and how she organized things, you know, with different text messages and what have you. Compared to Hunter Biden's laptop, if they had any evidence that had come out years ago to say, hey, this is the evidence we have, and this is what we're going after Hunter Biden for. And the nerve of Jim Jordan from Ohio to say, oh, you know, you're not showing up for a subpoena. How dare you? He's the one to talk.
Yeah.
You know? Because when Jim Jordan was issued a subpoena, he ignored it. A lot of them did. So the whole double speak and the hypocrisy is just disgusting.
And while they're at it, they can investigate the Supreme Court justice himself. Clarence Thomas should be investigated for everything that he has been doing and not doing.
I think his time will come. They do have a committee set up for that.
I'm talking about these Republicans. You know, they're bragging that they're going after crime. Well, let's start going after crime that's right in front of everybody's face.
Oh, well, even, you know, let's talk about, I mean, even Jared Kushner, I mean, with the $2 billion from the Saudis, that's under the table. No one's ever talked about that. How dare they talk about that? I mean, that.
Well, how about the hundreds of millions of dollars that Jared and Ivanka made while being in Washington, and they never even got a security clearance?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm
exactly.
Hypocrisy is the hypocrisy is just an amazing mountain of shit. And, you know, another
mm-hmm.
thing we have to remember is that in Texas, you know, their grid is all their electric and gas, et cetera, is all privately owned. And every time they have a storm, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they want littler government, but every time they have a storm, you know, if these private companies want to raise their rates, there is no one that is going to tell them, no, you can't raise your rates, you know, 150%, you know, after a
mm-hmm.
storm. And they've done that many
mm-hmm.
times. And we know that they've
mm-hmm.
done that. So why would Texas have private, you know, have private companies? I know why, but I'm just saying, why would the people of Texas want private companies? A lot of them don't even know. I had talked to someone when they had the problem with the gas that one time, or it was electric, I'm sorry, and she didn't even know that it was a private company, and she had been in Texas over 20 years. How can you not know that? You know, how can you not know that? So,
well, I mean, you're paying your bill. You move into a state, and you're paying your bill. You pay your house bill. You go get your groceries. You put your kids in school. You aren't going to investigate the utility companies to know whether they're private or, you know, it's
crazy.
You can't fault the people completely on that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The people in charge. You know, you swear an oath to guarantee the health, safety, and welfare of the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not guaranteeing the health, safety, and welfare of the people when the grid goes down and people freeze to death.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again, another hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much hypocrisy.
Well, we have another caller from Flint, Michigan.
Okay,
hello, Flint. Welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight?
Oh, I just got in about 7 minutes ago, Doris Suchu. So I was just following.
Hi.
When you're talking about Texas and the grid, I think the Elaine it was who mentioned the number of people died. That should have awakened all of Texas up.
Well, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
You would
think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's with it. So I'm just listening because
they
just got in.
Let's start a minute, David. I think it is interesting how red and blue states, you know, came to represent our, you know, our political parties. Because I've never really thought about that. But, you know, when I think about red states, I know what red states we're talking about. And when I think about blue states, I know what blue states we're talking about. But I didn't really know how it came to be. So do you have that article there, David? I gave it to you.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it up on everything.
Okay.
So
what happened? I'll start until you find it.
Mm-hmm.
It all started with the television in the 1970s. ABC, NBC, and CBS were seeking a way to help the Electoral College that was being won by each candidate. So more American households had color TVs
mm-hmm.
Than ever before, and giving a program
mm-hmm.
covering the election an opportunity to show splashy graphics when a state was called in favor of a given candidate. So that's how
mm-hmm.
it basically started, which is kind of interesting, isn't it? I think, you know,
mm-hmm.
I never knew that. And then
mm-hmm.
the first network to color code states during the election results broadcast was CBS in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And however,
mm-hmm.
at that time, blue represented the states won by the Republican incumbent, Richard Nixon. And red stood in for those taken by the challenger, Senator George McGovern of South Dakota. Now,
mm-hmm.
there's good reason colors were chosen for each party at the time. In Great Britain, red had long been used to represent the Liberal Party. That was in Great Britain, and in which the American used the case for Democrats. And then blue stood for the Republicans by default, in part because the colors
mm-hmm.
were in contrast, and they were striking on the screen. So that's how
mm-hmm.
that started.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you go to 80s and the 90s, those color assignments were reversed. Blue became more used, more consistently used for Democrats, and the red for Republicans. It still was in 2000. The race between the Democrats and Vice President Al Gore and the Republican Texas George W. Bush, that those colors became synonymous with the name of each party. Mm-hmm. That's when all came red and blue states in 2000. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of interesting because I really didn't know the history of it. So that's kind of, you know, so that's where it all began. The year started in 1970, 72, and then 2000. So that's pretty interesting, I think.
Yes, indeed, it's very interesting.
Oh, I was going to say another thing that I think of when I think of red and blue is that generally the blue states send more money into the government than they get back, and that goes to the red states, and the red states send in less and they get more, so we actually subsidize them.
Yes, we do.
As a matter of fact.
It's hilarious, Doris, that, you know, these red states have the nerve to call blue states butchers, you know, sucking on the government.
Exactly. They never say thank you.
You know, the audacity, exactly. So our next thing that we'll have to look at closely is the Electoral College, because during slavery, the North had more voters than the South, and the South didn't want slaves to vote, but wanted to count them in their population totals towards the number of electors. So the Electoral College was their solution. It's racist, and it's archaic. It should be gone. And so it's time to get rid of the Electoral College. One person, one vote. If that were the case, Hillary Clinton would have been president today and, you know, end of discussion. Donald Trump would be probably dead in a ditch somewhere because he owes Russians so much money. You know, so, you know, why is America so messed up? Because of Republicans, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they will resist changing the Electoral College.
Because I'm always favorite Republicans.
On the media. I got up early this morning and I decided to listen to the regular news channels, which would be 2, 4, and 7, ABC, CBS, NBC. They're considered your hometown news channels. I am getting sick and tired of the people being interviewed are Republicans. And this is where the narrative is coming that the Democrats don't want Joe Biden. It's coming out of the mouths and the lips of the Republicans that they're interviewing. I listen to program after program of these local Yoho Republicans. Nobody wants Joe Biden. Well, we don't really want Trump, but nobody wants Joe Biden. Do you understand how my voice is changing? Well, they did the same thing on TV.
Who made that decision to be on the Republicans most of the time? I mean,
well, the Republicans are the ones that are spewing this bullshit.
You're saying they're having them on.
Listen to the news. Be more vigilant. Well, listen to it very carefully. Who is spewing it? And it was Republicans all morning.
It's the stations that get them on. You know, whoever their managers or whoever, you know, takes over, you know, whoever makes those decisions in the station, that does that, you know. And
the thing is, the news reporters are interviewing or they're letting the person speak. And, they keep interviewing Republicans, and those are the ones that are spewing the bullshit. And they do not ask them after that, well, who said it? How do you know? They just take it. I'm beginning to think the Republicans in this point are right, that the media is lazy.
Oh, I don't know about lazy. I just think that they are we have to remember who owns the media. You know, we have to remember that they're basically Republicans that own the media. And I am sure that, you know, they are told what they have to you know, what they have to talk about. And they're the ones that get the people on there who they have to talk to and interview. I don't know how much freedom they have with that. And just think, in 24, if the Republican Party goes back into power, we won't even have a media probably. You know, MSNBC, they'll do everything that they can to destroy it. And I think right now MSNBC, among the cable stations like Fox and then CNN and MSNBC, Fox is the worst. CNN, they teeter-totter, you know what I'm saying? They kind of go back and forth. MSNBC, I mean, they won't even put a speech of Trump's on their station. Mm-hmm. They have definitely thrown all their support behind President Biden and Democrats. That's what they've made an idea. I mean, that's what they made as their, you know, what they're doing this year during the election. And it's mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm. I mean, that part is great. But if they get into power, good luck with that. You know, they'll make their lives miserable. So
That's one of the things that MSNBC has stated, that if Trump gets back into power, they're out of a job.
Oh, yeah. He already said that. Well, he's already said all kinds of things, though. He's talked about the Muslims. He's talked about immigrants. He's talked about locking kids up in cages again. I mean, he's talked about so many horrific things, and people applaud it. I mean, do they listen and hear what the hell this idiot is saying? Is he like on some kind of drugs or something to make him so insane when he talks? It's crazy. And also, he's been talking like Obama is the president. I mean, his brain is really melting, and I think it's time the media starts paying attention to that, really showing, you know, like they do Joe Biden. Whenever he flips up with a word, they talk about it for two freaking days. Well, why don't they talk about Trump when he says Obama's the president? Really? Give me a break.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned something about MSNBC is that I really admire three voices, among others, that bring out, you know, Muslims, because they're all Muslims, which is Ali Valshi, Mehdi Hassan, and Ayman Mohadeen. And Mohadeen has been in Gaza, and he's getting a lot of information. He did a real great one tonight that showed Israeli soldiers spitting on, kicking, and hitting a journalist with their, did you see that? Yeah. So the point is, it's not new. It's just that it's finally getting on the news.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Those three that you mentioned are really good. I enjoy listening to all of their, their broadcasts, because they have really good visions and speak, you know, when they talk, and I really like it. I enjoy it.
But one other thing, did anyone see that this new documentary that's out? It's called Israelism, and it's talking about, in short, the idea everyone thinks that all Jews think alike, and these are Jewish people who have things to say that we don't hear in the news, and it's a documentary, and I'm going to definitely see it.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard about
it. Since we got on that subject, one of the things I want to point out to the people is you've got two bad leaders that were fighting. Israel is fighting Netanyahu.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Netanyahu, I will put Netanyahu, Hamas, and Trump all in the same boat. They're all cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see the Israeli soldiers shot three hostages who had little white flags?
Did. Mm-hmm. Yes. That is
pretty.
That's horrible.
They've got them so pumped up that
they're
just told to go out there and do their kids. They're kids, and they've got them pumped up. Those kids now that they know what happened, they're not going to be right.
Mm-mm.
That's going to haunt them the rest of their life. You got Netanyahu to blame for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the people in Israel are calling for a ceasefire.
Yeah, that's right. And they're not listening to them.
This war is very convenient for him. because they wanted to try him and get him the hell out of that country. The people of Israel were ready to put him up on charges.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Indeed.
And the thing is, Netanyahu, I have already had a long sense that he has nothing but seething contempt for the Palestinians, that they're not seen as regular human beings, which in Israelism, this woman, this Jewish woman, American, these are American and younger Jewish kids, they are not, they are upset that the whole idea that what Israel is doing reflects their values, particularly toward Palestinians. They don't feel that way. They say most people have never met one. I have. I knew one for 50 years. But the whole point is they are talking differently, and I'm glad that it's coming out because it's not been brought up. It's like they all think alike, but that is almost never true.
No, it's no.
Indeed. Okay, so Lori, what do you think about immigration? Just last week, the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York said that, you know, they will go on vacation early because they want to work on a comprehensive immigration reform. And a lot of people are worried that Chuck Schumer and Democrats may fold because, you know that they're voting against funding Ukraine. So, and the stipulation is that Republicans want more money at the border. To stop quote-unquote illegal immigrants and terrorists from coming into our shores and everything. You know, so what's your feeling on this? Because do you think Democrats will fall and, give Republicans their wishes, or do you think Democrats will snap and say no? You know, because I think this whole border thing is blown out of proportion. I don't think Republicans really want a solution to the border crisis, the so-called border crisis, because it's a wedge issue. They're losing out on abortion, they lost out on segregation and civil rights, and immigration is a big thing they lose out on. What's your perspective on that?
Oh, I think that the Democrats will not hold. Now, we have to remember, in January, there's going to be, once again, the same story that we had in in November or beginning of December with the budget, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
of course, President Biden didn't get what he wanted. He did say that he would, give money towards the border. He was, willing to do that. But then they pulled the rug out from under them, and that wasn't good enough either. So I think that they'll probably play games again and use, the deficit once again as a wedge, because that was on the very last day. If you remember, he signed on the very last day. It was a Friday, or else we would have the deficit. It would have defaulted. Yes, thank you. So might happen. It's probably going to be very close, but I think they're going to do the same shit. I think they're going to try to keep on bullying President Biden and trying to make him look weak. I really do. And I hope that's not the case. I hope that the Democrats support him 100%. And I think so far they have been doing pretty much that. So let's hope it continues. Let's hope.
Well, there'll be two less representatives in January, which would be Santos and McCarthy in Congress. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that'll make a difference.
Yeah. I don't.
There's a total of 34 Congress people on both sides, whether Democrat or Republican, so that they're not running for re-election. A couple in the U.S. Senate, I don't remember how many. But because of the whole toxicity and the whole gridlock that's happening in Washington, I can't really blame anybody for not wanting to run for re-election, because absolutely nothing is happening. This is the worst Congress since the Great Depression days, and it's even worse. It's rated worse than the Great Depression days. It's saying a lot about who the Republicans have turned into, morphed into this Nazi right-wing lunatic fringe party.
And I'm a little confused as to what's going on, because Johnson has stated in so many words to the Ukrainian leader, I can't pronounce his name, that
Zelensky.
That he didn't think any money was going to go to Ukraine. Now, we've got to remember who these people, the Republicans, and Johnson and his band of thieves, who are they kissing? They're kissing Trump's ring. Whose ring is Trump kissing? Putin's.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, now, I'm sure that right now, the Republicans in the House have got their marching orders. Do whatever you can to make sure that Ukraine doesn't get their money. That's what's stirring the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it should scare the hell out of everybody in the United States, because if Ukraine gets overrun, they're coming for us.
Yep.
And
I don't think Donald Trump kissing Putin's ring. He's kissing his ass. Basically, patting them butt cheeks and kissing it real good.
Yeah,
but moving on, the states that are most reliant on federal aid, should we go through it, the key findings, Lori?
Sure, if you want to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so as Americans head to the polls or mail-in drop-off ballot boxes, voters will weigh in on their own state's financial health based on who they elected in the state. Local and federal elections. So to put states' financial health and the potential impact on residents of other states into context, we're going to analyze and rank states according to their dependence on the federal government. So the key findings is that 7 out of 10 states most dependent on the federal government were Republican voting, with the average red state receiving $1.05 per dollar spent. 29 states in all sent more to the federal government than they received, compared to just 9 states in 2021. Of the states that were sent money, that sent more money than they received, 52% were Democratic voting, and 48% was Republican voting. New Mexico had the highest return on federal spending of any state, $3.69, compared to Delaware, which is the lowest, which is 0.32, 32 cents. You know, so blue states, you know, carry the weight for America, and red states are just mooches. And a federal dependency ranking by state, New Mexico is ranked number one and everything. And, you know, the top 10 lists include West Virginia, Mississippi, Alaska, Kentucky, Vermont, Montana, Arizona, Maine, and Alabama. So those are the top 10s in everything. The red states lead with federal dependency. Democratic-leaning blue states tend to be wealthier and pay more to the federal government than they get. So in contrast, Republican-leaning red states tend to have less wealth and receive more federal government funds than they pay. You know, and you know, it's really sad what is happening, where, you know, red states always get what they want. For example, if there's a hurricane that devastates somewhere, say in a blue state, Republicans are the first one, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, you know, whoever you can think of in the Republican Party, say, no, they shouldn't get. Why? Because, you know, they tolerate gay marriage, you know, God spiting them. You know, different shit like that, the piss-poor excuse, you know, of why they shouldn't get federal aid to recover. But yet still, when Mississippi get hit or Texas get hit, they're the first one in line. Oh, yes, we need the money, we need the money. What about blue states who got hit by a hurricane or whatever, you know? Do you think you're more
In the Northeast, when New York and was flood or whatever it was, there was a big disaster, and they were... The Reds were real outspoken about not wanting any money to go there.
Yep.
Yes, they were.
Yes. So go ahead, Lori.
Oh, 1 second. I have to go back. Sorry. You can go ahead for a second. I lost my place. Oh, I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
So the red states with federal dependence. Democratic-leaning blue states tend to weather and pay more to the federal government so they get in. In contrast, Republican-leaning red states tend to have less wealth and receive more federal government funds than they pay. In the Money Geek rankings, 7 of the 10 most dependent states are considered red states. Policy choices may partially explain this relationship. A really conservative state might choose to tax itself at a lower rate, which means by default they can give the fewer state-funded services. Human Services Practice Area Director Public Consulting Group. That exacerbates the situation. But a correlation between states, economic health, and political affiliation may reflect economic factors beyond those explained by political philosophy. So what they do is they want to spend tax their red states more, and then they get less from, you know, their money there, their state money, and then the federal government subsidizes it. So that's, you know, that's how they work there. If red states receive less in taxes than they receive in benefits, that's because they are generally poorer, and program rules are progressive, not because they are takers, while blue states are donors and any value-laden sense, says Mark Shepard. He's the assistant professor at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what else can we say about these red states? They are backwards in every single way. And when they vote against their best interests. You know, how else can you, I mean, how many times do you have to bang your head up against a wall before you understand that you're getting, you know, bumps from it and you're getting, you know, brain tumors or something? I don't know. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess people learn one day. You know, maybe it'll take like 20 more years before the catch on, you know, and by then it'll be too late.
Yeah, and the, you know, and the their education system, like you said earlier, they've got less money for funding, you know, their public schools, and they're more and they're more for charter schools. So we know what happens there. I mean, it's
homeschooling.
You know, and it's a circle for them. You know, definitely a vicious circle.
Yeah. Our circle jerk is more like it, really, the red state.
Yeah.
You know, because according to certain statistics, they watch more gay porn than anywhere else in the United States, the Bible Belt. You know, so, hey, if you praise the Lord and worship and what have you, fine and dandy, but please don't stuff it down the throat. We have a couple of people in the past calling to the show saying, Jesus is Lord and Savior. Great. I'm happy for you, but please, fuck off. You know, I don't want to hear that. You know, You know, don't worry about my salvation or anybody else who listened to the show or called the show. A prime example of that is in Florida, we have the GOP chairman of the entire Florida Republican Party. His name is Christian Ziegler, and his wife is Bridget Ziegler. And, you know, these holier-than-thou Christian people, she serves on one of the school boards. And I asked her to resign because of what's been happening. Not because of threesome sex or, you know, kinky sex, you know. I'm for having all the kinky sex you want, whether gay sex, straight sex, bisexual, whatever. You know, as long as you're not hurting children, raping animals, and having sex with dead people, I have no problem with it. But when these sons of bitches go out there and say, oh, no, this is wrong, and the Lord said... But behind closed doors, you're doing other nefarious things. Like, for example, allegedly, Kristen Ziegler raped her best friend. Now, for years, you know, these three been having like a threesome menage a trois thing. And like I say, if you're into that, knock yourself out. Have all the sex you want. But do not go out there and, you know, play perfect and judge other people and everything. You know, and I think the right thing to do for Kristen Ziegler and his wife on the school board is to resign. Let's go back to the rock
for whence they came, because nobody takes them seriously. You know, nobody takes Florida seriously. Florida is like the penis of America, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, shallow, vindictive, flaccid. You know, have a governor that, you know, is a Trump wannabe. You know, so imagine if we'll see what he's doing to the state of Florida and everything. So imagine if Ron DeSantis becomes president of the United States. You know, that's frightening. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered, has anyone seen this ad on TV? I just saw it this morning, and it shows a mother going out, and the child falls in the pool, and he reaches for the animal, and the baby goes under, and mother comes out, and she drops butt down her knees, and she says, "Please God, save her, save her." And then neighbors came over and says, "Our thoughts and prayers are with you." And then the guy mowing the lawn says, "Our thoughts and prayers are with you." And it had a very strong message. And it was about guns.
I saw that one.
It's on my timeline, Doris.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's on my timeline. Yeah. That was very powerful.
Yes,
it
was.
It really was. And then at the end, that you see the little girl floating in the pool.
Right.
That
was
very powerful. Yes. Really.
It's about time we saw something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that message is exactly how those people are. Exactly.
Right. You know? Actions, no actions, but thoughts and prayers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
There should be more things like that about the issues we're talking about that come across on the TV where a lot of people can see it.
Yeah.
Whoever thought that one up, I thought that was good. We should do more of that.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Absolutely right. Okay, so for our next little segment here, we're going to talk about how the racists have fallen in love with the Trump Republican Party. So, and you know, it's sad because, you know, I really think that since Trump in 2015, 2016, I mean, he has found a way to just poison the minds of so many people. And I also blame the media because they haven't shut him up. And I don't mean to shut him up, but they allow him to talk day after day after day. I would like to see them go interview President Biden day after day after day, but President Biden doesn't have the time to stand there and talk to them. He really doesn't. So it's so infuriating. So anyways, David, do you have that in front of you? I sent it to you. Hello, David? Oh, I don't know where he went.
Oh, Laurie, what you just said about coverage, one other thing I appreciate when I see those three people I talked about, you know, Ali Velshi, Mehdi Hasan, and Ayman Mohideen, they have at times said, we're not going to show this because we don't want to waste our time watching someone do the same thing. They actually say that we're not going to present that because we've got other things in the world going on. And they have courage. They have courage to be real journalists.
Yes, and that's why I appreciate MSNBC because I think, in other years, I've been watching MSNBC for quite a long time. And in other years, I would say, they're kind of wishy. But I really think that they have taken a turn and they have decided that, with Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes and, the whole lineup, Ari and Melber, I think that they see the danger that this country is in. They see happening in this country. They see who wants to take over and destroy our democracy. And I think they're all in to help save it. I really do. And
they're deeper.
They
go deeper and they don't just cover things superficially.
No, they do not. You're right. Absolutely.
there was an interview that Belchi did with Jim Jordan, and Jim Jordan was really against national health care. And Belchi, I'll tell you, Belchi really put Jim Jordan on the carpet. He said, you can't have decent health care if it's insurance run.
Yeah.
So then Jim Jordan starts spouting, all the Canadians are coming over here to get their health care because Canada's health care is so crappy.
Yeah.
And Belchi goes, uh-uh, I'm from Canada. That's not true. I sat here and really laughed. Jim Jordan's mouth was wide open. If there was a swarm of bees, they would have made a new home. I think Belchi is a very, very good reporter, along with the others that you've named. I like Lawrence O'Donnell also.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too, yes.
And then Michael Steele the other day, this is his quote, when are you going to put Trump's ass in prison?
Yeah. Yep, I agree. Oh, I tell
you. You know, the Republicans, all they have to do is listen to MSNBC. There's a good number of those reporters are Republicans. They
You're
are
right.
The old-time Republicans. The kind that would sit down at a table and you would have good dialogue and a good think tank, and you would have laws passed that everybody could live with.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody could live with. But, this is just my observation, and I wish more people would start observing.
Yeah, I agree.
Is David locked out or something? Because I heard some funny noises. Before it went quiet.
I have no idea what the noises were, but,
are
you back? Trouble feedback.
Yeah, he's back. Hey, David, let's go on to, let's talk about Florida for a second, because that's what you had started to talk about, and then you disappeared. You see that last article I sent you, that the one that Florida is rejecting $320 million? You see that one?
You can go ahead with it.
Okay. Florida is rejecting $320 million in federal funding to reduce emissions, calling it politicization of our roadways. they turned down $320 million of federal funds to address infrastructure and emissions. Now, why do you think, David, why do you think they turned it down? Why do you think DeSantis turned it down? Because that's who did it.
Yeah, because DeSantis is a fucking moron. The reason why the turn it down is because DeSantis think it is politicizing the roadway. it's federal funds to address infrastructure and emissions. The Florida Department of Transport called funds politicization of roadways and everything, and the DeSantis proposed spending $14.5 billion for transportation projects in the next fiscal year. The Florida has become known for politicizing everything from school libraries to Disney World. Florida draws a line at highways. Florida state officials have turned down an influx of $320 million of federal dollars to address infrastructure and emissions, claiming the money is politicized because it's meant to address climate change. And climate change is a real thing, but Republicans think it's a liberal hoax. So Jared Perdue, the Secretary for Florida's Department of Transportation, informed the agency's federal counterpart in November that the state will decline funds. This is according to the Tampa Bay Times. And the Florida Department of Transport quietly removed a carbon reduction strategy, which was a requirement for the federal dollars from which its website, it was on the website, the newspaper reported. So again, I think that they turned it down because there's something about climate change and like helping, climate change
and you know, try to help the state in terms of carbon emission and what have you. So Ron DeSantis is a bedhead. Purdue said that in his letter to the United States Department of Transport that Florida was rejecting the continued politicization of roadways. And DeSantis previously said climate change was a left-wing attempt to politicize the weather. You know, because, yeah, it makes sense, because Ron DeSantis type of people and even Trump people think that Barack Obama and the CIA control the weather. So, you know, there's no climate change. It's a hoax. It's not real. You know, and these are the people who are running for president who want to be my president. So Florida was the only state to turn down the funds. And the Democratic representative, Congresswoman Kathy Castor, she went on Twitter to compare DeSantis to the fictional Dr. Seuss character, the Grinch, who's known for stealing Christmas presents from locals at Whoville. And I quote Congresswoman Castor, "You're a mean one, Governor DeSantis. Once again, pickpocketing Floridians of millions of infrastructure dollars. And for what? This foolishness is fiscally irresponsible. And it's costing Florida families and businesses a whole lot," end quote. Yeah, so Ron DeSantis is just a moron, plain and simple. And he has no business running for president. And he's a shit governor of Florida, and he's destroyed Florida.
Not only is he a shitty governor, like you said, I think he is a horrible human being in general. That he had any sort of personality. When he had that debate, which I enjoyed, even though it was on Fox, it was, with the governor of California. The looks on his face were precious because he was trying to smile, but I don't think he knows how to smile. And his smile was almost like a frown. It was funny, you know, and he has, like I said, he has no personality whatsoever. You know, anyone that can watch people being tortured at Guantanamo Bay, they are special kind of people, if you know what I mean. They are not normal. I don't know how anyone can watch anyone being tortured and not blink an eye. So in saying that, he is definitely a poor choice for governor, for president, for a human being, for a husband, even probably for a father. Can you imagine? So I hope he drops out soon. I really do. I really do. And you know what? The money that he rejected, give it to one of the other states that could use it. Give it to Michigan. We'll take it. We'll repair our roads. We don't have any pride. We want our roads fixed. We want to fix the damn roads here. I mean, how ridiculous. How ridiculous. You don't care about your people, the constituents that voted for you. This is what you do. Sad.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you said he rejected money. I missed it because I had to go away for a second. He rejected money from where?
From the federal government.
Dollars, $320 million to help with climate change. And Ron DeSantis said no.
As in other words, he doesn't want to acknowledge climate change.
No,
of course.
Yeah, it's a liberal
vote. Right. Florida could be underwater, then they'll know it. But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't go that far. But that's one of them where the water will go.
Yeah.
Up. Yeah. But the people of Florida ought to be a little bit brighter and aware of that because that's where they live.
Well, I don't know what happened to those people.
Well, Matt Gaetz is up in the north part, but I heard that there was a little flutter about – you know, how they felt about Santos, but I haven't seen anything more yet. If somebody else has, I don't know, about they're a little troubled with Matt Gaetz, the Republicans.
Matt Gaetz? Oh, yeah, he's from Florida, right?
Right. And
yeah.
So I thought,
Congressional
well,
District 2 in Florida, Matt Gaetz.
I heard the Republicans, as they did vote Santos out, that he was somebody else they didn't like, but I haven't seen any more, you know, things going on, but I'm just keeping that in mind. That was you know, because this very small crazy minority control a whole lot of things. And if mm-hmm. they can, like in January, there will be two fewer, as I understand it, because you need to have elections for these people. They're not appointed. So in January, when they're voting on the, you know, the paying the bills for the country and all that, mm-hmm. they may have two fewer representatives voting then, mm-hmm. despite what's going to happen in the fall if we have changes down the road. But because they have to have an election on it. So that's just something to – maybe it could make a difference if everybody didn't all vote one way. So anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, mm-hmm. see what happens.
Yeah, so another difference with the blue states and red states is that when you compare crime and murder rates, 8 out of the 10 states are solid Republicans. Mississippi
yeah.
is the highest. You know, we'll have Louisiana, Kentucky, Alabama, Missouri, South Carolina, New Mexico, unfortunately. Where else? Tennessee, Arkansas, and Georgia. You know, so basically the only state in there that's blue is New Mexico. We'll have a fentanyl problem, and we'll have a serious problem with homelessness. And that's the reason why, you know, violence and crime made up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Governor Lujan Grisham is doing her best to curtail that and getting the help for the street people and, you know, trying to get things in better order. You know, but what is about red states where, you know, they come on these different talk shows saying, oh, yes, you know, look at the blue states, you know, violent crimes in Chicago. Chicago
mm-hmm.
is part of Illinois. Oh. You know, when you compare Illinois to
yeah.
somewhere like Arkansas have more violence per capita than Illinois. You know, you can't, like, you know, cherry pick, oh, Illinois or Cleveland or, you know, whichever little community is in there, the inner city community. You know, that's what these Republicans do, and they're so good at twisting up facts and lying,
mm-hmm.
basically. You know, that, you know, these little sound bites that Fox News and whoever else play, people fall for it, and that's sad.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They do.
Well, the Democrats have to speak up about that rather than being silent and letting them have the stage
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It's the other day, and I've never done this before, but the other day I was on Facebook for a little bit, and I went to Ben Shapiro's show. He had a live show on, and they were talking about gun control, and he was with a woman that was going to be running for Senate or House or something, and
mm-hmm.
they were disagreeing and arguing, and she kept on, you know, talking about the inner cities that, you know, the blue states, she kept on saying that the blue states, the governors of the blue states are the ones that have the most crime in their cities because they don't do anything about it. So it turned into a match between a shouting match between the two of them. And I thought, I want to call because she had mentioned about, and you know, I know Detroit has their crime daily. They have their shootings daily, but she made it sound like, you know, whoever's the mayor of these cities or, you know, that they don't care. And that's not true, you know, because like in the city of Detroit, yes, they have crime every day. They have problems. They have murders just like every other city. But they do come on and they do try. They have done a lot in the police force in the city of Detroit. I mean, they have really curtailed crime there. So they've been working on that. So I called in and I started to talk about Detroit. And she says, well, do you live in Detroit? I said, no, I live in a suburb of Detroit, but I've been in Michigan all my life. Well, you don't know that. I said, what do you mean I don't know? I mean, I'm the one that listens to, you know, the news. I see what happens in our city, you know, in the cities, you know, and she kept on insisting, you know, and she was just talking, you know, above me, and I couldn't get my point across. And so Ben Shapiro kept telling her, she's trying to say something.
Not Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro's a right-wing nut job.
No, yeah, no, the other one. It's Brian. And I'm sorry, it's Brian Shapiro. And he kept on saying, she's trying to talk, and she did not care. She was mad because her point I did not agree with. And so finally,
was being refuted.
Yeah. So she called me Karen, and she hung up.
Oh, well, that shows where she is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, those are the kind of people that if they don't have the, if they can't say what they want to say all the time and you can come and refute them, they often say, I'm done. They walk away. I mean, they don't continue. That's one of the things I notice. They back up because a lot of them don't really even know a lot of facts. They just say global, vague things like, I'm not crazy about Trump, but I like his policies. But the next thing is, oh, which ones might those be? You don't get a discussion. They're global things, and they don't, you know. And
no,
but I found that's what's common.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much so.
We had a caller like that, and he was asked where he lived, and he wouldn't say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they spit out these false facts. But they won't tell you if they're in the suburbs or on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something about Illinois. And this holds true with just about every state in the union. You've got more going on in your small towns than you do in your big cities. Because in small towns, when the kids get together and they're on drugs, they become a family. Does that explain why nobody knows what's going on? Because when those kids become a family, they don't tell on one another.
Mm-hmm.
There's more going on in the suburbs in drugs than there is in a big city.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to share this, ladies, and is this post on Facebook that somebody wrote. The name of the person, she puts it as Southern Sister Resister. And she wrote, the founders wrote the Constitution, not the apostles. They added the Bill of Rights, not the Ten Commandments. Their intent was freedom of religion. It was not controlled by religion. They created a democracy, not a theocracy. Christianity is not a political party. So about three shows ago, somebody, a nice gentleman from California, I think it was San Bernardino, California, called saying that, oh, you know, the intent of the Constitution, you know, was ordained by God. I mean, that's nonsense that's out there.
Correct.
It was Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and whoever wrote and signed the Constitution and everything. And they themselves wrote it saying that there shouldn't be one religion in the United States because, you know, that's what they were running from England and from Europe. You know, so again, these evangelical Christian nut jobs twist things up, you know, and that's why there is so much backwardness in red states compared to blue states because the blue states are critical thinkers, you know, compared to the red states who, you know, believe in this religious dogma that, oh, Christianity is right. If you're Jewish, if you're Catholic, if you're Muslim especially, then you're going to hell, you know, and that sort of, you know, myopic thinking. That's what
I describe them as evangelical, so-called self-described Christians. Because they don't act like whatever Christians ideally should be. And that's sort of like Jesus, okay? So I just say the self-described Christians. And, you know, one thing that in the news that is, I think, a real problem with journalists or, you know, people that report the news of whatever quality they are, they're often saying, he believes this. I think, wait a minute, why do you say that? You know what he believes? You just know what he said. You're reporting what he said. You're not reporting he does believe this. You don't know that. And when they do that, they give more credence to something that you really don't know. And, you know, when you can compare actions or all I can do is say, he says, but he wiped out a lot of people. Or, you know, whatever. Their actions are what count, what they tell you. You don't read their minds. You know what they say. And I don't say, well, he believes this because if you said all those people say they believe that Trump won, no hell, they don't. That's just what you say because you want to back up what you wanted. You just want to back up what you wanted. And it's like kids, I didn't eat the cookies, whatever. But that's on an adult level. So I don't know why they say he believes this. You do not know what they believe. You know what they say they believe because that's what you listen to their words.
And added to which, if you're not a scientist and you disagree with scientists about science, it's actually not a disagreement. You're just plain wrong. Science is not truth. Science is finding the truth. When science changes its opinion, it didn't lie to you. It learned more. So, you know, these Christians and evangelicals, the religious dogma that, oh, the Bible said this, the Bible said that. And he knows just how to cherry pick and everything. And, you know,
the
they don't want evolution to be taught in schools. Why not? You know?
But the Bible is one religion. It's one religion. And so whoever said, if you believe, live by the Bible, but by imposing on other people what you want to do or not do, ain't what it's supposed to be. Just like forcing religion on people. Just live your religion, and if your religion tells you to hurt people and whatever, I don't know, I don't call that Christianity, and how do you explain that? Because they like to say God wants it. And who can argue with God? I mean, if you accept that, who can argue with God? He's a big one. So.
And, you know, Jesus, when he was on earth, he said, feed the hungry. What evangelical being? They all cut food stamp benefits. Jesus said, care for the sick, but they all got affordable health care. You know, shelter the homeless, the demonize the homeless, especially if you're a U.S. veteran or war. You know, it's sad and shameful that, you know, when somebody fought for this country and bled for this country and suffer PTSD and what have you, you know, and are homeless and need a job, nobody willing to help them. Democrats trying to help, but Republicans want to privatize the Veterans Assistance Program. You know, Jesus said, love everyone. You know, and then Republicans and evangelicals want to block equal rights for LGBTQ, women, minorities.
Right.
You know, they're just sick individuals who belong to a part of the cult. And I feel if Jesus, you know, came back to earth, then, you know, people like them would crucify him again. Because
again, yes. Or they might lynch him. Who knows?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Exactly.
And, you know, what's funny is I watched just a little clip of someone, a reporter asking Trump if he could just, you know, talk about the Bible for a moment. And he asked him, you know, what verse in the Bible? He says, oh, I read the Bible every day. And he said, well, what verse in the Bible? Well, there are a couple of the verses in the Bible that you really, you know, that really stand out to you. He goes, I can't talk about that because I can't tell anyone what I read. You know, he doesn't read the Bible, you know.
Of course not. Neither does Trump. Neither does
That's
Trump. Not. The one who, he wouldn't say a verse because he loves them all the same. Okay.
Yeah.
It says Sarah Palin, the same thing. What books do you read? I read all of them. It's just so